Good morning. Did you like those last couple of hymns? That really brings us closer to God, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's why we're here this morning, that we can actually be closer to God. We've been going through, or we've started going through a series on Faith Runs Deep. 2 weeks ago we looked at Will Faith Continue to Run Deep? Last week, Anthony spoke on the God of the Second Chance. This week, we're looking at eternity in our hearts. Next week, is the sermon will be headed The Melting Pot, and then that other religion, and then on week six, the least, the last, and the lost. So there's a series that's going on here. And before we actually get into that, just let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning. And Father, we pray that as we look at your word, that truly, Lord, that you will be with us and that you will guide us. Father, that we might hear what you are saying to each and every one of us. And so, Father, we commit this time to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. We better do the right things and put my glasses on so I can see what we're actually looking at. Now, when we first looked at the heading that we had, I was very encouraged. And I must say that, you know, when the expression eternity in our hearts came up, I thought, now what a wonderful thing to be able to speak on, and what a wonderful thing to be encouraged by. And so I thought about it and I thought, now, what does the Bible mention about eternity? And so came up, and it comes up that there's 30 or 41 times that throughout the Bible that it specifically mentions about eternity or eternal life or life eternal, or some phrase that is associated with that. And so, you know, this was something that I thought, no, what a wonderful thing that we can actually see that the Bible does speak about eternity. But the first one that we actually came up against, I thought we did. It comes up in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. Normally, I've used the English Standard Version Bible, and that comes up and it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Now, if you remember anything about Ecclesiastes, this here is straight after all the portions that God mentions that, you know, there is a time for every season. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate, there's a time to live, there's a time to die, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace. And he says, now, after all these things, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, do we look at around the place or everything around us and do we think that it's beautiful? Do we think that God has made it? Do we think that, you know, this here is something that is really wonderful? Now, for Margie's benefit, I've put underneath the ESV what the King James Bible says. And the King James Bible, instead of saying he has put eternity into his heart, into our hearts, it says he has put the world in our hearts. And when we think about that and eternity, now, what is the difference of what is contained there? And I think, you know, when we look at the very last portion of that sentence, that so that no man can understand what God has made from the beginning and what he's doing towards the end. Putting the world, or putting what we see around us, into our hearts contains a very big concept of what we can actually do. But I must say that now every other version that you can come across it mentions eternity rather than the world. But now this here is something that is there. Into our hearts. So when we think about eternity or time without end or whatever, we can go back as far as Aristotle, and it's Aristotle was Plato's student, offered a different approach. While Aristotle acknowledged eternal truths such as mathematical entities or the concept of an unmoved mover, a prime causer of God, he conceived a time as infinite but measurable. When we think about eternity, do we consider that it is measurable? Because Aristotle thought that time was measurable, or eternity was some form of measurable time. It says, for Aristotle, eternity was tied more closely to the continuity and perpetuity of time rather than an absolute timelessness. For us, we think about all these different sorts of things. Plato introduced one of the earliest detailed treatments of eternity through his theory of forms. So you want to go back into ancient history, we can do things like that. If the world has been put into the hearts of everybody, Hinduism, they think about eternity as a continuity of rebirth. Islam goes for paradise, and other people go for different other things as well. You might have heard about the elixir of life. If you follow Harry Potter, that's one of the things that comes in with him. Throughout all histories, there has been people who look for the elixir of life that is going to give them an eternal life, that they might have something. Man's search for immortality has led in many directions, but the most prominent answer given by many fairy tales and folk tales is of an elixir of life or immortality. This elixir is a mythical, magical potion that cures all kinds of diseases, as well as granting immortal life to the drinker. Fairy tales are wonderful things, and they each contain a certain truth within them. The elixir of life, God has put eternity in our hearts. We seek it in different ways. The elixir of life is one way to seek it. You'll never find it. We're guaranteed to be able to find eternity. Now, to get back to our topic, faith runs deep. Now, in Faith Runs Deep, under the heading of eternity in our hearts, it has given us a basic outline of justice and reconciliation. The outline speaks more about reconciliation, but it also speaks a little bit about what is happening throughout the time. And it starts with the justice of God in Jesus going to the cross and dying there for us. And it talks about the reconciliation that this act does between God and man. I've put on the bottom there, this is what Faith Runs Deep want us to focus on, and to think that I was excited when I saw the heading Eternity in Our Hearts, for Australia has a wonderful example of eternity in our hearts. And we're going to look at that a little bit later on. We'll leave that there for the moment. Now, when Faith Runs Deep wanted us to look at this subject, it talked about a new identity through reconciliation, and this is what's found in Ephesians. And we'll read that again, and we do thank Michael for reading it out earlier on. So it says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace. And now when we can consider that, Paul was expressing to the Ephesians that in their time they were Gentiles. They didn't know about God. They didn't know about life. They didn't know that there was a Messiah coming who would lead the world towards God and towards heaven. He said that because of Christ's death, he has brought these Gentile people into a covenant relationship with God, which the tribe of Israel had up until that time. These people didn't know God, but now they knew God. And in that, they had become one people or one nation with God. It says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. So not only did Jesus speak to the Gentile people as such, but he also spoke to the nation of Israel that they might come and to be one people. Faith Runs Deep wanted us to look at our supposedly reconciliation with the Aboriginal people. And they want us to talk about, you know, what that reconciliation means. But for us, if we don't know Jesus Christ, we can't be reconciled to anybody. And if the Aboriginal people don't know Jesus Christ, we can't be they can't be reconciled to us either. So throughout all this, if we don't know Jesus Christ, then reconciliation as such does not have any meaning. And I think, you know, when we think about reconciliation, when we think about eternity, when we think about what is happening in our lives, we need to consider some of the verses that come up. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So if we don't know God, we have eternal punishment. If we know God, we have eternal life. What does eternity in our hearts mean to each and every one of us? Is it looking at what God has done and what God is doing? Is it looking at something else? Is it looking for the elixir of life? Eternity in our hearts means looking for God and what goes on. Some other verses that go with it, you know, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he made us, eternal life. Have you had that promise in your life? Do you look to God and remember that he has promised us that? John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. What wonderful words Scripture contains for us. But to think about, Faith Runs Deep said that we need to think about what the Australian concept, or what the Australians, past Australians, have actually given us as an example. And, you know, when I thought of eternity in our hearts, my immediately mind went to, we have the most wonderful example in Australia of eternity. And, you know, we have the story of Mr. Eternity. Our young people mightn't know anything about this. If you're around at the year 2000, you would have actually known about this. For the younger people, that's ancient history and something that is not very much thought about. Mr. Eternity. Fellow by the name of Arthur Stace, between 1930 and 1960, used to go around the streets of Sydney, and he'd write in copper script writing the word eternity with chalk on the sidewalks, and nobody knew who it was for many, many years. So it was around about the So between 1930 and 1956, nobody knew who wrote these words, this word eternity on the streets. And in 1956, the truth came out that this fellow by the name of Arthur Stace went around and did this. Now, this wasn't Arthur's only way of expressing this. If for those who don't know, Arthur Stace was born into a very poor family. He had a lot of abuse as a youngster. Mother and father were alcoholics and drug addicts. He was brought up, as I said, abused. He started abusing people, etc. He was in prison, in and out of prison quite frequently. But at one stage, he went to a sermon. Arthur Ridley was the speaker at that, John Ridley, was giving a sermon, and he said, "Eternity, eternity, I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone on the streets of Sydney. Eternity, friends, you have got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity?" And this changed the life of Arthur Stace. Part of his ministry was he did hold street meetings, so he would preach on the streets. He also went to the food kitchens and he fed the homeless men around the place and preached them to them as well. Eternity has become part of the culture of Sydney. And on the year, or between the year 1999 and 2000, on New Year's Eve, with the fireworks and everything in Sydney, they actually lit up the word eternity on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And so, that was part and parcel of what comes through. For us, what does eternity mean? We must remember that when we consider eternity, we need to start with being reconciled to God, just as Arthur Stace was. Then we can carry on the work that God has given us, and we can face with confidence our eternity. And as we finish, let us look at the Sydney Harbour Bridge as the millennium turned. And that is what Sydney saw as the new millennium came in. For us, is this what we look forward to? Amen.
Thank you, Max.